السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أحب سنتي فقد أحبني، ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة. وفي رواية: من أحيا سنتي فقد أحبني، ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Salat and salam, salutations upon our master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without a shadow of doubt, there is no topic which brings more happiness and peace, contentment, ease to the heart of a believer than to speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just came across an article sometime back, few weeks back, just in passing. It is mentioned that when a person speaks of something that is positive, when you speak and you hear something of a positive nature, then this has a direct impact on your emotion. It has a direct impact on your frame of mind. It's a lengthy article, and it even goes as far as mentioning that it even has an impact on your performance in your workplace, your performance in your daily life, etc. And when I sit and you think, and we all can do this, it's so obvious when we speak about something that isn't good. You speak about something that has some evil, or you speak about something that has some, negative connotations, etc. It creates an upset feeling. You don't feel good within yourself. So if you take it from the opposite side of it, if you speak of something that is good, and you speak of something that has a positive nature, how much more and how much of ease and contentment will be brought to the heart. And without a shadow of doubt, every Muslim, every believer within his heart has great, immense love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today we will discuss few aspects from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I'm sure over the weeks you've been listening to. When we explore the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can never get enough. Sometimes you listen to a particular incident of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, you listen to it over and over again, and you find that every time you listen to it, the more you listen to these incidents, the more you learn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran as rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto mankind. Actually, alameen, we're just translating it as mercy unto mankind. But if you take the literal translation, Allah ta'ala is saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mercy unto the world, alameen, all of the universe, whatever Allah ta'ala has created. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a source of mercy even to the animals, a source of mercy to the plants, a source of mercy to everything that had a little bit of life. Whatever came into contact with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it only prospered. So if you can well imagine, if we bring the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives, how much more prosperous we will be. Now there's a particular aspect that I want to take it through the seerah in this light. There's many things we can speak about, and in each incident we can draw many lessons. But there's one lesson in particular, and this is with regards to the beautiful, forgiving nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ability to clean and clear his heart. And if we analyze our life and society as on a general level, you'll find that this is something which we desperately need to bring alive. The hadith which we quoted in the khutbah, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu's narration. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had an amazing, unique, beautiful way of putting a message across. And you'll find very often, one of the beautiful qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, he is jawami'ul kalim. He'll say a few words, voluminous in meaning. But if you just see the manner and the way that Rasulullah ﷺ would get a message across, sometimes if he wanted to get a message across, by virtue of example, Abu Huraira's narration, Abu Huraira said Nabi ﷺ took his hand, and he wanted to give him a message of 5 important things. So he counted it on each finger. He mentioned one point and he held the finger. The next point and he held the next finger. Now if Rasulullah ﷺ does that to any person, that will be etched in his memory for life. He'll never forget it. Sometimes Nabi ﷺ would take a stick and draw something on the ground to give an example. So there were different ways. And according to who Rasulullah ﷺ spoke to, accordingly he would give his message. But this particular message, look at the message and see how Rasulullah ﷺ invites us towards it. Nabi ﷺ said that, addressing Hazrat Anas bin Malik, and Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had the honor of spending 10 years in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. If you just read, that's not my topic, that's a topic for another day. But if you just have to go into what Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala had to say about the time that he served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll be marveled. Our mind cannot understand it. We cannot fathom it. What a human being. He says in the 10-year khidmah, in the 10-year service, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never raised his voice at him once. He never became angry with him once. He never used a word, you know, just a simple word, that sometimes just to show a little bit of your displeasure at something. He said in 10 years of service, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never did that to me once. Not even once. Allahu Akbar. So he narrates this hadith. He said Rasulullah ﷺ took him and explained to him, and he said, Ya Bunayya, O young boy, O young lad, I want to give you some advice. Nabi ﷺ said to him that if you have the ability, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsiya wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin faf'al. This is the advice that Nabi ﷺ gave to him. He said that, O young lad, if you have the ability to wake up in the morning and to go to bed at night in the condition that you harbor no ill in your heart for any person, your heart is absolutely clean, then do it. That was the advice that Rasulullah gave to him. But see the impact of how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say to him so that this advice has a direct impact on the heart of Anas bin Malik and on the heart of every person that will listen to these beautiful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, do this, why? وَهَذَا مِن سُنَّتِي. He said, do this, why? وَهَذَا مِن سُنَّتِي. One narration, وَمَنْ أَحْيَى سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. Whoever brings alive my sunnah, indeed he loves me. Another narration, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. Whoever loves my sunnah, indeed he loves me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And whoever loves me, he will enjoy my companionship in Jannah. This is a sunnah, beloved friends, beloved brothers, that we should strive to live our life by this practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions say, Anas bin Malik is the narrator of the hadith as well. He says, we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person walks past, ordinary person, not dressed very well also, but disheveled, some the narration mentions. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam points out to him, and he says to the companions, if you want to see a man of Jannah, then that is a person who is a man of Jannah. So this happens on the first day. Happens on the second day, again he walks past, same person, nothing extraordinary about the man. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi looks at the companion and says, if you want to see a man of Jannah, then there is he. Look at him. Happens on the third day. Man walks past, normal, nothing extraordinary about him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi says to the companions that if you want to see a man of Jannah, then look at him, there is a man of Jannah. So his sahabi by the name of Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, I have to find out what is this man doing. You know, when people are trading in the market, you say, what is hot at the moment? We have to find out what's turning the money, what's getting everything going. We must be in it. We can't be left out. We must be part of it. We also want a share. So he said, if three times, on three occasions, Nabi SAW said, this man is a man of Jannah, I want to know what is he doing, what is so special, and I want to do it because I also want to be a man of Jannah. So he goes to this companion, he says to him, listen, I had an altercation with my father, and I left home. Will you allow me to stay with you for 3 days and three nights? The Arabs were very hospitable. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very hospitable. It was in their blood that they would allow a person to spend 3 days, three nights with them. If a guest had come, they'll go over, they'll go out of the way for the guest. So he permits him and he says, okay, you can stay with me 3 days, three nights. So the Sahabi gives an account of this 3 days and this three nights. He says, the first night passes and I see nothing. I see absolutely nothing. There's no extraordinary tahajjud there. There's no, extraordinary Quran tilawah. I'm not seeing anything that is now driving me to see what is it that this man is a man of Jannah. First night passes, same story. Second night passes, same story. And then the third night passes, he sees the same story. He says, eventually I went to him and I said, listen man, this story I concocted it, I made up the story. There was no fight with my father, there was no altercation. Three times, on three occasions you walked past, and each time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if you want to see a man of Jannah, then there is a man of Jannah. I want to know, tell me what is it? What are you doing? What special characteristic do you have that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we know anything that emanates from the blessed mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is absolutely no doubt in it. Without a shadow of doubt, that is haq. That is indeed the truth. Tell me, what is it that you are doing that you are a man of Jannah? He says, listen, I can't think of anything in particular, but I know there is one quality that I live my life by this. Irrespective of whatever it is, I live my life by this. He said that I harbor absolutely no ill in my heart for any Muslim. I keep my heart clean for every single Muslim. And I'm not envious of anything that Allah Ta'ala has blessed somebody else with. If Allah has blessed somebody else with it, I'm happy for that person. I'm not envious of it. I'm not angry why I didn't get it. And I keep my heart clean at all times for every Muslim. Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As said to him, he said, Hada, this is it. This is the quality that Rasulullah SAW has spoken about, and this is the reason why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has pointed out on three occasions that you are a man of Jannah. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what made him so unique, he would advocate. Now this was the advice that he gave to Hazrat Anas bin Malik. Now when you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would advocate something, but what he advocated would be practically in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's many incidents. I've chosen a few, whatever we can manage within the time, I will mention it. We'll take the incident of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making hijrah. When he made hijrat, when he left Makkah Mukarramah to go to Medina Munawwara, there's a few things that happen on that journey. And we will discuss one in particular. If we have time, we'll go into others as well. So after 13 years of persecution, 13 years of difficulty, Allah Ta'ala gives permission that now you can make hijrat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepares for this journey. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his slave, and there was another guy that they took with them, so they prepare for this journey. Anyway, along this way in this journey, there were many things or many incidents that happened, and things that we can learn a lot from. But this one incident in particular, which supports the advice that Rasulullah SAW gives, and how when the opportunity arises, we find that practically Rasulullah SAW lives by this advice. So they camped in the cave for 3 days, three nights. They left Makkah on a Thursday. And according to most of the historians, they say it was a Monday, first of Rabiul Awal. Rasulullah SAW leaves the cave and they're making their way towards Medina Munawwara. Now brothers, just to digress a little bit so that we can appreciate, we speak of hijrat and it seems as though it was something that was very, very easy. Now we all know lockdown has been continuing. Many of us, many people couldn't travel. Allah Ta'ala remove these conditions quickly so that life can get back to normality in every regard, inshallah. And every one of us sitting here, there is a special relationship that we have with the Baytullah. Every one of us. A person, irrespective of his level of iman, sometimes a man may not be very practicing, sometimes a person may have whatever faults we all have, Allah Ta'ala forgive every one of us. But there's certain things in the life of every believer that is very special, and a believer holds it very, very close to his heart. One of those things is the Baytullah. Because this was the direct dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So when we speak of the hijrat, it's not something that was very easy for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was a very, very difficult journey, by the way. To the extent that it is mentioned in the books of history, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at the Baytullah, he started to cry. And there was this pain and this, this difficulty in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Actually, Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an indication of the relationship that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had with the Baytullah. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. That only in the second year of the Hijrah, after 13 years of persecution, and then they go to Medina, but only in the second year, Allah reveals the verses that we've seen you looking into the sky in anticipation that when will Wahi come down, when will Jibreel descend with the Wahi, that now turn your Qibla away from Baytul Maqdis and now face to Makkah Mukarramah. We know when we go for Hajj, Allah Ta'ala take all of us, when we go for Umrah, every person has that yearning and that desire that when you're leaving Makkah Mukarramah, there is a certain, your heart sinks, you don't know if you'll ever get the opportunity again, you don't know if you'll live to see another opportunity as you're driving away from the haram, and you have that, worry, that pain, that, Ya Allah, will we ever come again? If you ask a person, or any, you speak to people in general, no person can tell you or really describe to you that feeling that he had when the first time he looked at the Baytullah. Some cried, others couldn't speak, some people, their mouth became dry. Different people had different experiences, but rest assured, it's an experience that is close to the heart of every believer. Sometimes a person, if you speak to the elderly people who went maybe in the 70s and the 60s, their journey was a very different journey. Today people are flying business class and first class and whatever have you. They had to go via the ship and a 4 months journey and sometimes to another country and whatever have you. But if you ask that man, tell me, will you do all of this over and over again, or will you repeat this entire journey of yours for that moment when you looked at the Kaaba for the first time? The man will tell you, I'm prepared to go through all of that again if I can relive that one moment. So the Kaaba has a direct relationship with the believers. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam leaves Makkah, he looks at Makkah, he looks at the Kaaba and he addresses it and he says, Oh Makkah, O Kaaba, if it was not for my people who have thrown me out of Makkah, who have kicked me out of, I would have never have left you. I would never ever leave you. So this hijrat wasn't an easy thing. Nevertheless, getting into the incident that I want to speak about. So they're making their way towards Medina Munawwara. They leave the cave. And on the way, or rather should I put it this way, when they left the cave, or when they left Makkah Mukarramah, the Quraysh of Makkah, they were very, very upset. They were angry that how could we allow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to slip from our hands. So they made an announcement in Makkah that dead or alive, whoever brings the head of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Abu Bakr is a reward of 100 camels, dead or alive. So now the news was filtering and it was just moving like wildfire. So there was a companion, at that time he had not yet accepted Islam, by a person by the name of Suraka bin Malik. Suraka bin Malik, he gives his own account and he says that I also got this information, this news reached me, that whoever brings the head of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam dead or alive is going to get 100 camels. So he said it was one of the nights we were sitting and the talk and the discussion was going around and people were saying, this is the Quraysh have put on this particular reward and whoever finds Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or Abu Bakr is a well-known person amongst the Quraysh, this is going to be the reward. So he says, whilst we were sitting, two people came in. They came into the gathering. And they gave a description. They said, listen, we've seen three or four people. And the description that they gave, it seemed that head on this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Suraka bin Malik, he said, and I heard this. I said to him, no, it's not, ignore it. Ignore it. We can relate to that. Many times a person sees something, he wants to buy it. Or he sees a car or a property. You go ask somebody for advice. He says, buy, don't touch it. Don't go near it. Not for you. Not to stay far, you burn your fingers. Next thing you heard, that man bought the property. So same, Suraka saying, you know what, I only had one thing in my mind, 100 camels. If these people try, I'm going to lose out. So he said, don't worry about it. He said, while the discussion was getting hot, I slipped away. I prepared my horse, and he said, I had a very fast horse, and I was a very good rider. So he started, and he moved on his journey, and he knew very well that from that description, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was with Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. You know, there was a person who made a statement. He made a statement and he said, he tried to curry favor with Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said that according to me, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is more virtuous than Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sahaba ikram, as I said, their hearts were clean, they were pure. If it was us, maybe, you know, don't mention it, but you know, we'll just leave it at that. He said, no, you're saying an incorrect statement. I disagree with this. What you are saying is totally incorrect. And he vehemently opposed the statement, and he said, I want to tell you something. Wallahi, one night and one day of Abu Bakr, khayrun min Umar wa Ali Umar. He said, one day and one night of Abu Bakr is better than Umar and the whole family of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Forget about saying that Abu Umar is better than Abu Bakr. One night of Abu Bakr's only is better than the whole Umar and his entire family. So Abu Bakr gives this narration and he says that when Suraka was trying to come for them, now Suraka bin Malik is on his horse and he's now going. He says, here's the opportunity. He's going to get Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's on his way to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu cautioned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Nabi of Allah, there is a rider. And this rider is coming at a pace. Nabi Sam said to him, Oh Abu Bakr, don't worry about it. He said, we're moving on. He said, as I see him getting closer again, I said, Oh Nabi of Allah, the rider is almost here, he's going to catch us up, he's going to apprehend us. Nabi Sam said to him, La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana, don't fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says, and then he reached a point, Suraka reached a point, that he was within a spear's distance of touching us. He said, and at that point I started to cry. Abu Bakr Siddiq said, at that point I burst out crying and I started to cry. I said, O Nabi of Allah, this person is right here, is on to us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a dua, Allahumma kfinahu bima shi'at. Oh Allah, you protect us. And then he asked Abu Bakr, why are you crying? He said, O Nabi of Allah, I make Allah my witness, I'm not crying because I have any worry or concern over myself. Allah is my witness that I'm only crying because this man is so close to us that I fear what will happen to you if he has to harm you. What will be your condition if he has to harm you? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi made such a beautiful statement. He said to Abu Bakr, he said, Abu Bakr, it seems as if though you have more concern for me than you have for yourself. So nevertheless, Suraka is now face to face with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's got only one thing in mind, and that he must get this 100 camels. He must apprehend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he must catch him, and he must now earn his reward. At that point, Nabi sallallahu makes dua, Allahumma kfinahu bima shi'at. That, oh Allah, you suffice for us, you protect us. And the horse of Suraka starts to sink into the ground. The narration says that the earth at the time, that particular place where this horse was sinking to the ground, the earth was a hard earth. It was the land was hard, but the horse of Suraka started to sink into the ground. Now look at the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suraka says to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Muhammad, I know that what has happened to me is a direct result of you and your relationship with your Creator. I'm asking you that please ask your Creator to release me from this condition that I'm in. Some narrations say this happened 3 times. And eventually on the 3rd time, Suraka picked up his hand and he said, now I give up. Indeed, I know that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are upon the path of truth. Then he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now look at this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the opportunity. As I said, when the opportunity was there to clean and cleanse, even for the enemy, here was Suraka out to get him, out to, take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and hand him over to the Quraysh. But at that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave him and overlooked him. He said, listen, I'll allow you to go. Just do one favor for me. Just do one favor for me only. That don't say or don't report to anybody with regards to our whereabouts. You continue on your way. And if anybody asks you, you remain ignorant and you don't mention anything regarding us. He said, no problem, definitely I will do that. And then he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for a favor. He said that I would appreciate it. He said, from what I've witnessed here with my very eyes, I can see that you and your religion are going to go very, very far. That it won't be long before your message will reach the whole world. Can you give me something in writing that tomorrow nobody must apprehend me for this particular incident? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructs Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and a piece of leather is taken, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him to write there that Suraka has been granted protection and nobody should harm Suraka, and this protection has been given to him by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam directly. But the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was such that before he could leave, Suraka first offers some food. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, listen, we won't eat, continue on your way. He takes his spear, and every person would have a spear which would generally be personalized. He took his spear, he gave it to Rasulullah SAW, or his arrow, and he said that, listen, when you come to a certain area, those people there know me, some of the animals that they have, they belong to me, present this to them, and they will allow you to eat, and whatever you want to partake of it. Nabi SAW said, no, there's no need for that, take this and continue on your way. And as he was leaving, Nabi SAW called him, and Nabi SAW said something to him. He said, Ya Suraka, O Suraka, كَيْفَ بِكَ إِذَا لَبِسْتَ سِوَارِ كِسْرَى. He said to him that, O Suraka, tell me, how will your heart manage the emotions on the day that you will be made to wear the bracelets of Kisra? Kisra was the king, Kisra was the leader of Persia. So he gets a shock. He says, what? Kisra ibn Hormuz? Are you speaking about Kisra ibn Hormuz? You're here in the desert, you're sitting between Makkah and Medina, there's absolutely nothing, barren land. You are saying to me that the time is going to come that the bracelets which belong to the superpower of the time will be on my hands. He gets a shock, and he continues. Nabi Sallam says this to him that, Suraka, a day is going to come. How will your heart manage it? How will your heart take this emotion on that day when the bangles of Kisra will be placed on your hands? And every word that came out of the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 100% haq, absolutely no doubt. In the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, many lands were conquered, many areas were conquered. And when Persia was conquered, and the booty was brought and placed in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he makes an announcement. He says, that where is Suraka bin Malik? Where is Suraka bin Malik? Suraka bin Malik comes to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says to him, O Suraka, irfa' yadayk, spread out your hands. Spread out your hands. He spreads out his hands and he says, قُلْ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. Say Allahu Akbar. الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي سَلَبَهُمَا كِسْرَى ابْنُ هُرْمُزْ وَأَلْبِسَهُمَا سُرَاكَ ابْنُ مَالِكَ. He says that, say Alhamdulillah. Say all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who took these bangles off the hand of the superpower of the time, Kisra ibn Hormuz, and it is Allah through his power and his might who has placed these bangles on the hand of Suraka bin Malik, Rajulan A'rabiyan, a normal Bedouin who hails from a certain tribe. And he then said to the people in the masjid, raise your voices and say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. How great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to end off, brothers, my time is up. The lesson that we take from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the few incidents that we mentioned today, that probably a sunnah that would help the ummah is if we bring this alive, as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man ahya sunnati faqad ahabbani. Whoever brings alive my sunnah, indeed he loves me. And whoever loves me, he will enjoy my companionship in Jannah. Is that we wake up in the morning and we go to bed at night, harboring no ill in our heart for any Muslim. And if we do that, then indeed we are following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.